Tonight, I'm going to preach a sermon prepared for me by people who've fallen. I think you'll understand in a few moments. Every day of my life, literally, because I have so many members and because I have so many friends around the nation and around the world, every day of my life, I hear bad news, literally every single day, about someone whom I love. It may be a serious illness. It may be a death. It may be someone who's near death. It may be someone who has a heartbreak. But every day of my life never fails, 365 days a year, and this year one extra day, every day of my life, I hear bad news about somebody having a heartache or heartbreak. I prepared this sermon, or at least I began preparing it 16 weeks ago. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, slippery when wet. Since I began preparing this message, there's not been one single week that I have not heard of some preacher who's fallen, a missionary, a pastor, an evangelist, an assistant pastor. Every week for these 16 weeks, at least one, and some weeks two, and some weeks more. Now, that's not because pastors fall more than lay people do. I often say at ordination services, I thank God that I belong to a profession where it makes news when one falls. But every week, for 16 weeks, because I've been preparing this sermon for 16 weeks. Likewise, every week, for that 16 weeks, I've heard of someone in this church who's fallen. I mean, either backslidden and quit church, fallen into sin that's made them a reproach to themselves and their family. So what I've done is this. I have written down every single thing that has caused people to fall in the last 16 weeks. So I'm telling you what these things are. Now I want to say first, don't you think for a moment that you are an exception. And don't you think it couldn't happen to you. Let me remind you it happened to David, a man after God's own heart. Let me remind you it happened to Peter, the most famous Christian in all the world, and no doubt at the time the best Christian in all the world. Let me remind you it happened to Samson, about whom it was said, as much or more than any other person in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Let me remind you it happened to Moses, who was called Moses, the servant of God. Let me remind you, it happened to Abraham, who is called a friend of God, and you are not exempt. And that means that you need to walk carefully because you are on slippery ground that is slippery when wet. I hope you listen carefully. I say to our preachers around the country, don't stereotype yourself. I don't want to become a certain kind of a preacher. I want to preach some sermons like I preached this morning, reminding you to love. I want to preach some sermons that are pungent and others like I preach maybe Thursday night and Wednesday night. But tonight I'm preaching as a man who would have a sign saying warning, ice ahead. The car that I drive now, it has a little light that turns on. It's in the shape of a wheel with ice or water coming up behind it. And it lets you know when you're on slippery ground. If you're on ice and your wheels are spinning, a little light comes on to let you know. And then if you're on wet ground, anytime your wheels are spinning, it lets you know. Now, I want to be that tonight to let you know what slippery ground is. I'm not giving you what I've outlined. I've let those who have fallen outline my sermon tonight. And I want you to listen to me. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear. And I pray tonight that some tragedy shall be avoided and averted because of this hour, please. Amen. slippery when wet. Each of the four men who wrote the books we read a while ago said something about sliding back, or slippery places. And they well knew, for David came to a slippery place in his life when he took Bathsheba to himself and had her husband Uriah killed in battle. He reminded us of slippery places. Likewise did Jeremiah. But Jeremiah also well knew the danger of slippery places. He came to one when he got discouraged and quit the ministry and said he wouldn't speak in the Lord's name anymore and backslid for a while. Then Moses likewise knew what he was talking about when he talked about a slippery place or sliding place, easy to slide. For Moses it was who one time killed a man and hid his body in the deserts of, in the sand of the desert. And then later on, he committed a sin that caused God to forbid him to enter into the promised land. Though he went on Mount Nebo and saw the promised land, he never set his feet on the promised land. And likewise, in Hosea, you have the same warning. Hosea was a little different because it was his wife who came to a slippery place in her life, and their marriage was wrecked, and her life was also ruined. Now then, as you reach your senior years, you become more aware of falling. Mrs. Hiles and I often speak of it. One reason I'm so glad we have a condominium now is that we had our washing machine and dryer was down in the basement. And as I'd go down to wash and iron, is anybody home tonight? But no, one time Mrs. Hiles did fall a little bit and hurt her foot rather bad, and for some time she was crippled. Now we're very sensitive at our age, because you get our age. I'm 73, she's 39, and has been for many years. But if you break a bone at our age, it takes a long time to mend. And so we talk about it very often, and we're especially careful when we're walking on snow or ice. And, of course, the reason is that bones heal so slowly when bones are as old as our bones are. And so we're, I mentioned a while ago, my car has a little light that, like a wheel, that lets us know when the car is on a slippery place. Now, the Christian life is that way. As we grow older as Christian people, it is easier for us to slide. Easy because more slippery places come our way. As we grow older in the Lord, we come to more and more slippery places, and as we grow higher and higher in the Lord's work, likewise we come to more slippery places, and also the fall is more tragic. For example, as you come toward the top of in the Christian life, it becomes more slippery. I observed one of my great heroes, though I never met him personally, had never heard him preach, was Dr. J. Frank Norris. I preached in his church in Fort Worth many times, but at that time he was ill and could not be in the services. But J. Frank Norris had a great influence on America. In fact, the truth is, people that knew J. Frank Norris and know me say that he and I were very much alike. He was a very handsome man, a very strong man, a very, very, very muscular man, and a very humble man also. But our ministers are so much alike. For example, he was reared in the home of an alcoholic father. He was reared in the home of a father who left him and his mother. His mother made a living for Dr. J. Frank Norris by working with her hands, and they went to a Baptist church. J. Frank Norris was saved in this Baptist church, as was his mother, and then he went to a Baptist college, and then became pastor of a Baptist church. All of these things are so much like my life and the story of my life. Then he became pastor of a First Baptist church, he in Fort Worth, Texas, me in Hammond, Indiana. And then he began to see the errors of the convention. He pulled that church out of the convention, just like we pulled this church out of the convention, the American Baptist Convention. And then he began a college, just like we have a college. And at one time, his college was the most influential of all the independent Baptist colleges, just like Hiles Anderson College is at this moment the largest independent fundamental Baptist college in the world. So I'm simply saying, I watched J. Frank Norris. I also watched him as he went to the top and became pastor of America's largest church. I watched then, watched him as he became more vulnerable to attack because he was a more visible target. And I watched people start shooting at J. Frank Norris. Now I watched him get bitter. I watched him and it's hard not to when he's given his life for the cause of Christ and so forth, and then people start shooting at him. And by the way, it's always the religious people that do the shooting. It's never the secular crowd. It's always religious people that do the shooting. But I watched him get bitter in his last years. And I watched him. He did not live as long as I have lived. He died around the age of about 70, I think. But J. Frank Norris died a bitter man. And I said to myself, I want to be very careful as I grow older. I, too, pastor the largest church in America. And I, too, am a very visible target. And I, too, have been shot at, am being shot at, and shall continue to be shot at. But I resolve to be careful. I'm on slippery ground, and I do not want to get bitter. And if God will help me, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay happy. I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to pray for my enemies. And I'm not going to get bitter. Now, I'm saying as you grow older, it's so much easier for you to stumble. Also, I'm giving you now the times when it's easy to stumble and the path is slippery. This one, immediately upon accepting Christ, is slippery ground. You see, you got to watch it carefully. If you just haven't been saved very long, you got to watch it carefully. Why? You're on slippery ground. Everything is new. Some things are strange. You're a stranger in a new crowd. You're a puzzle to the old crowd, and you begin to find things that are considered wrong that you never knew were wrong. You just got saved, and I get up here and preach you a sermon and say women shouldn't wear pants, and good night, you haven't quit your cussing and drinking yet. You just got saved. And it's so easy for you to say, well, I just don't agree with all of that. And before you know it, you slip and you slide. Perhaps you don't agree with some of the things. But look, you just stay here and trust us and say, that old man up there loves me. If I don't agree with him, he still loves me and he's trying to help me. And even though if he is wrong, he's sincerely wrong because he's trying to help me. So be careful. You're on slippery ground. If you just have been saved for a while, you are on slippery ground. Then also, as you continue to grow, you find that your Christian friends are quite human, and then you're on slippery ground again. It's a slippery place where all of a sudden, you see, you come to a church like this, and you think everybody's perfect. Because this is First Baptist Church of Hammond. And it's the greatest church in all the world. But I got news for you. This is a church composed of human beings. And this church has a human being as its pastor. And sometimes we are going to disappoint you, but don't you let that cause you to slide or fall. It's a slippery place. When all of a sudden you realize that we're human. So be careful. And by the way, don't punish yourself because you are disappointed in some of us. I say, when you are just saved, you are in a slippery spot. And when you begin to grow in the Lord, again, you are in a slippery spot. And then along the trail, you'll find some other things that will cause you to be near slipping or falling. Let me give you some of them. Let me warn you. When your children become teenagers, you ask any pastor, more Christians stumble when their children are teenagers than any other time. You know why? Because they drive to you, and you want to blame us. Let me tell you, if your teenager didn't turn out right, it's not Ed Lapina's fault. If your teenager doesn't turn out right, it's not Don Boyd's fault. You quit pointing your finger at Don Boyd and Ed Lapina and Tom Vogel and point your finger in the mirror because they're your children, and God's commanded you to see to it that they turn out okay. Let me get something off my chest. Don't you come to me criticizing Don Boyd. And don't you come to me criticizing Tom Vogel. And don't you come to me criticizing Ed Lapina. And don't come to me criticizing Mike Sisson. And don't come to me criticizing Dave Douglas. Come criticizing Roy Moffitt. It's your fault. Everything goes on around here is your fault. It goes wrong around here. Now, wait a minute. I'm saying this. So what do you come to me? Now, try that in the public school. Try going to the superintendent. Try getting in the superintendent's school's office. Try it sometime. If your kid goes to Hammond Public School, which you shouldn't, but if he does, and a teacher mistreats him, try getting in the office of the superintendent of schools. Now, I don't mind you coming, come right ahead, but I won't tell you right now, I am for authority, and it's time that you also became for authority. Now, you see, authority is not always right. You're exactly right, but authority is right more times than those who are griping are right. He said, I don't like what you're saying. I don't give flip. I'm 73 years old. I get this Bermuda shorts and go down to Florida and retire and play shuffleboard the rest of my life. But as long as I'm here, you're going to hear what I believe this Bible teaches. Now, listen carefully to me. If you have a teenager, you're on slippery ground. Lock them up. Put them in a box. Leave them in a box. Saw a hole big enough where they can breathe. When they get 17, plug up the stupid hole. But I want to warn you, it's so easy when you have a little child. But that child becomes a teenager, and he comes home with all of the stories about what goes on in school and so forth. Before you know it, hey, you're on slippery ground. And by the way, you're the one's going to lose. You get mad and leave the greatest church in the world to go somewhere where they have got any convictions and no standards and so forth. Why, what you're doing is you're punishing yourself because somebody you think has done you a wrong. Now, you better watch it. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. You need First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. You need that man as your youth director. You need Don Boyd as your principal. You need Tom Vogel as your principal. And you need me to stand up here and preach what I'm telling you right now. I'm saying, if you've got a teenager, sell him. Trade him in for a baby. Get a newer model. But I'm saying this, you better watch it, because you are on slippery ground. And I said a while ago, you ask any preacher in America, he will tell you that more people leave his church disenchanted when their kids are teenagers than any other time. Watch it. Hey, watch it. You're on slippery ground. There's another time. And you've got to watch it very, very carefully. And that is after you get married. Let me warn you, folks. Don't get married. But right after you get married, you not only have a new adjustment to make. You attend a new Sunday school class. You must distance yourself from your single friends. Don't forget that. Distance yourself from your single friends. I said, when you get married, you distance yourself from your single friends, especially those of the opposite sex. Anybody home? You guys, when you get married, you quit the old single crowd of boys. And you gals, when you get married, you quit having your tea once a week with those single girls, and you build your life around your husband. It's slippery ground right after you get married. So many things are new. Your schedule changes somewhat. That isn't all. When you get a new baby, send it back. When you get a new baby, you're on slippery ground. Sick child. You miss church. You lose sleep. You get upset with the nursery. Of course, it's cleaner than your house is, but you expect it to be cleaner. And before you know it, you become disenchanted, and you become sometimes upset, and before you know it, the slippery ground has caused you to fall. When I was in Texas pastoring, we had a doctor in our church, a wonderful doctor. He was a chiropractor, a dear friend of mine. He was a deacon, faithful and loyal. But this doctor, after a while, he and his wife almost passed childbearing years. They had a baby. And, of course, all of a sudden, the nursery became not worthy of their baby. When our first kid was born, Becky, we propped her. I took her to Miss House was still home, couldn't even leave the house. The first Sunday, Becky was alive. I took her down to the church nursery. And you should have seen it. At one time, we had one nursery worker and had 80 kids. 8-0, one nursery worker. And Mrs. Sawyer was her name, and Mrs. Sawyer just had one eye. She had two when she went to work in the nursery. but she had one eye. What you did is you opened the door big enough to get your kid through there and slid your kid through, close the door, and live by faith for the next couple hours. Now you listen to me. I 10,000 times rather have my baby taken care of by one lady with one eye in a nursery. I don't care what kind of shape the nurse is in, and me be in the house of God than be at home backsliding instead of sliding back because the nursery didn't fit me. Now you listen carefully. This doctor and his wife backslid, went to a liberal church, joined that liberal church because they had a cleaner nursery than we do. I'm saying, watch it, watch it, watch it. It's slippery. When you get married, you're in slippery places. When you have a new baby, you're in slippery places. Also, when criticized or attacked, I'm going to park here for a while. It's an amazing thing to me how you expect me to love my enemies. And how you expect me, when I'm attacked, you expect me to not fight back. And yet you get attacked. And somebody criticizes you, and it's not 1/1,000th the attacks that I have, and you get bitter. Now you listen to me. You're on slippery ground when somebody does you, you think somebody does you wrong. In the first place, you don't know if it is your wrong, because you're not God. I am. You're not God. I'm saying, if you have been done wrong and you get bitter, you're the loser. Don't do it. You're on slippery ground. So you criticize a critic and you become a critic. Don't hate the haters. Don't fight the fighters. And don't think that you are the last person are the best one to know what's wrong and what's right. It may be that you think you've been mistreated and you haven't been mistreated. But if you have been mistreated, you know what I long for? I long for someday if y'all believe what I preach. How many times have I stood up here on Wednesday night and talked about loving your enemies? Pray for those. How many times? Pray for those that despitefully use you. Bless those that curse you. It's time that you listen to what I'm saying, folks. My Bible says love your enemies. My Bible said bless those that curse you. Didn't say write them dirty notes. Didn't say get back at them. Didn't say get mad at them. It said bless them. And that's as much Bible as John 3:16 is. Watch out, you're on slippery ground. If you've been criticized, you've been mistreated, somebody's done you wrong, you're the one that's on slippery ground. That isn't all. When ill, you're on slippery ground. You're just as absent if you're homesick as if you are if you're home watching a ball game. And you miss the preaching just as much as if you're home watching a movie. That means if you're sick, you ought to get the tape. And you ought to listen to every sermon. If you're on vacation, you ought to get the tape. Every member of this church ought to hear every sermon that is preached behind this pulpit. Everyone. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and if you can, Wednesday night. But by all means, the Sunday sermons, you ought to get them because you're on slippery ground. And then when you have success, you're on slippery ground. You look down at those that are less successful. If you have formal education, you're on slippery ground. You're tempted to look down at those that are less formally trained. If you have money, you're on slippery ground because before you know it, you look down at those that have not. And then let me say this, it gets more slippery as you get older. As you grow older, life becomes more complicated. Heartache mounts. Heartbreaks mount. Some forsake you. I made a list the other day when I was preparing this little message of all the preachers I could name who had forsaken me that I thought were my friends. And yet one little person can mistreat you and it's an explosion bigger than Hiroshima. Now the honest truth is, ladies and gentlemen, I made a long list. I don't know how many, it's over 100 I could think of. That I thought were my friends, that had forsaken me, and had betrayed me. But as you get older, you'll have more. By the way, children disappoint you as you get older. More to break your heart. Your family's larger. It's harder to serve God. You get tired and you get weary as you get older. It's harder to drive at night. It's easier to get irritable. It's easier to become offended. It's easier to think you know it all. It's easier to have excuses to quit. It's easier tempted to turn it over to others when you get older. We were having a youth conference, and I felt so old. I don't mind having a pastor school because I'm in there older than out there, too. But a youth conference. When Dave Howes left here, I said, not going to have any more. Ed Lafina said, you got to. I said, who's going to run it? He said, you are. I was about 68 years old. I dreaded it. I dread walking out on Monday night. I dread it, or Wednesday night, or every night. I dread walking out. And do you know that I was, the first night I wanted to run, finally I got enough courage. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. A long-haired young hippie out there in the alley, just before I walked in, said, what's an old man like you doing running a youth conference? After I killed him, I wanted to not walk in there. Now, I'm simply saying that it's slippery as you get older. Some of you ladies have more time than you used to have, and you have a telephone. Disconnect it. But it's a slippery spot as you get older. Now, let me tell you what a senior citizen, I'm one, what I do. I don't mean spiritually now, I mean physically. As I walk in the snow or drive in the snow, I stay in a rut. I stay where others have walked, and I usually stay in Ms. House's path because her feet are bigger than mine, I walk where others have walked. Now, young people, in case you would like to be not to fall, you walk where saints of God have walked. You find where that man has walked, and that man has walked, and that man has walked, and that man hasn't walked, and where this man has walked, and this man, and this man. You find out where they've walked, and you quit trying to go your own course and do your own thing. You trust those who've lived before you and love you as your example. Many a time on a Sunday morning, as Howes and I would be driving up to our little church in the country, maybe a Saturday night, afternoon. Back in those days, you didn't have all blacktop roads, and we had a dirt road for 3 miles. We had to go on a dirt road. And we'd get out, and it'd be pouring down rain, and we'd get in those ruts. As long as we stayed in the ruts where other folks had gone, we were okay. But as sure as I looked over, and Ms. Howes always bothers me. She wants to smooch all the time while I drive and stop and neck and pet. It's a bother to her. But I'd keep talking to her, and I'd get out of the rut. And there you are, stuck. And I'd gun it. And get back and gun it again. And she's back there pushing. You say, what was she doing pushing? I'd have got money if I'd have been out there, folks. Now, listen, best thing you do is you find out how these saints of God have lived around here, and you can stay in the ruts that they're in. You follow their footprints. You follow their path. That's what I do as a senior citizen. There's something else I do. When I get to an icy spot, I tiptoe. Very carefully, I tiptoe and watch it carefully. Now, I've given you some icy spots tonight. If you have just got married, if you just had a child, if you're getting up in years, if somebody's attacked you, if somebody's done you wrong, whatever I've talked about tonight, you tiptoe and be careful and don't let it get you bitter and don't let it cause you to fall. Third thing I do, as an older person, sometimes I hold on to someone stronger. Every time Dr. Robertson is here, we walk up those steps out there, he grabs my arm. Unless I see him first, I grab his arm. But he grabs my arm. Why? He's got enough sense to know that he needs somebody stronger to help him up the stairs. I do the same thing. Quite often, if I'm in a slippery spot, I'll grab some younger preacher's arm, And he helps me over the slippery spot. It wouldn't be bad for you folks in slippery spots to get to follow other people and hold on and fellowship with those people who are stronger Christians. And then I also heed the warning sign. I'm driving down a highway, and it says, ice on bridge. If it's July 1st, and it's 110 degrees, I watch it. Maybe somebody spilled some iced tea on the bridge. I don't know. But I watch it. Just like when I see a policeman, I slow down. I don't need to slow down. I want to see Brother Doug Califf after service tonight about that trip he walked through O'Hare Field. But now, wait a minute. I don't need to slow down, but I slow down. And I'm not going to look at the signs that warned me about, when I see that little light come on in my car, I'm going to be careful. Why? Because I'm not going to be such a big fool as to disregard the signs that are warning me not to break my fool neck. For 50 years, I've watched them fall. I'll be quite frank with you. In the ministry, I'm sort of lonely. My crowd's either dead, retired, or fallen. My crowd's not preaching and pastoring anymore. And I've watched them year after year. I'll be out in California tomorrow. And I'll drive near a place where I preach time and time again, a large church out there. The pastor's fallen. I'll be not far from another place where I preached for about 15 consecutive years. The fellow was running 3,000 in Sunday school. He's fallen. I've watched it, and I've watched it, and I've watched it. Let me say two things, and I'll quit. Are you at a slippery place? If you are, look out. If you aren't, look out even more. Because the Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. I've mentioned this before. I have a list in my desk. Nobody will ever see it. I have a list in my desk of deacons who've fallen. I was in a place, business place just the other day. I met a fellow who used to go to this church. He still loves us. I said, how about so-and-so? He used to be a deacon here. He said he's divorcing his wife, marriage is wrecked, has long hair. He's on my prayer list. I pray for every deacon that has ever been a deacon here that I know has fallen. And I've got preacher friends that have done the same thing. I don't want you to fall. So if you're on a slippery place, you watch it very carefully. Ask your question tonight. Are you in a slippery spot? Huh? Let me just go through my little outline here and ask you a question or two. Are you high in the spiritual ladder? Are you a deacon in this church? Are you on the platform tonight? Are you a staff member? You're a slippery spot. Ask your question tonight. Have you just accepted Christ? Are you a new Christian? Then you're at a slippery spot. Ask your question tonight. Are you disenchanted because somebody you found out is human? Let me explain to you. I know these fellows on the platform. This guy here is human. This guy's human. This guy's human. All these fellows are human. But they're mighty good human beings. Don't you let, if we do something that you think we shouldn't do, don't you let that ruin your Christian life. Have you become disenchanted with somebody? Maybe not here. Maybe somebody else in the church. Somebody you thought was a good Christian. You become disenchanted. Are you in that slippery spot? Or are you the parent of a teenager or teenagers? A slippery spot. Or have you just gotten married or plan to get married? Watch it. That's a slippery spot. Or have you just had a new baby? That's a slippery spot. Or have you been criticized or attacked or someone mistreated you, you think? Watch it. That's a slippery spot. Are you ill physically? Be careful. That's a slippery spot. Are you successful in any area? educationally, financially, prestige. Let's say, how are you successful? Watch it. That's a slippery spot. And then as you get older, you watch it even more. Heartache mounts. Heartbreaks mount. Illness. More to break your heart. Life becomes complicated. I ask you to be careful. I don't want any of you to fall. I don't want any of you to stumble. And if you're in a slippery spot tonight, you know who you are. And you know whether you're what you were or not. And you know whether you're close to falling or not. I ask you to be careful. We don't want to lose anybody from this great work. Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father,